Well, good morning, church. Good to see everyone. All right, you guys ready to pray for Pastor John? Amen. And we're going to ask God to open his word this morning to us. Let's pray now and just ask God to move sovereign. And Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for the praise and worship this morning. We thank you for Pastor John, our leader there, the women, the men, everybody that comprises that worship team. But Lord, even more than that, those that really want to worship you with that pure and sincere heart. Now, Father, as we sit here at your feet, we pray that we would be mindful of the one thing that is really needful, and that's to hear your word. So Amen. We pray for Pastor John. We pray that you bless him, that you anoint him, that every word that he speaks would be from your heart to our heart. And Father, we receive it now. We thank you for it in Jesus' name, and we all said amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you were here last week, you should remember about what Bob spoke about. What do you have sitting down there on that thing? A rock or a stone, right? You know, he spoke about the danger of having a heart of stone, a hard, unbelieving heart and he showed us that stone. He talked about it being cold and, you know, unresponsive, unyielding, pretty hard to break through a stone. And that stone just, it doesn't really receive much. You know, you try to talk to it, it doesn't really receive much. Well, over the past couple months, we've been talking about understanding and walking in God's purpose for our life, in His will. And if anyone has a cold and unbelieving heart like that stone, then we're not able to understand what God's trying to speak to us. We can't understand His will. We can't understand the things of God. And certainly, we won't understand His will for our life. That's why we're warned in Ephesians 5:15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, key part coming up, but understand what the Lord's will is. That's our job. We've been commissioned, we've been commanded to understand what the Lord's will is. We are God's creation, and He wants us to be wise, not foolish, because He knows that walking in His will is the pathway to the greatest blessing that we'll ever experience. God designed us. We are His creation. Psalm 139:13 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Who else could possibly know us, understand us better than the living God, than our Creator? Who could bring us, who would know how to bring us to that place where we could have the most blessed, fulfilled, rewarding, successful, victorious life possible? Only God can do that. Dear Abby, or, you know, any of these online help things or newspaper articles, none of them are going to be able to really understand our inner being like God can. Only God. So if we want our life to make sense, and I think we all do, and if we want to build wisely, like the wise builder with a purpose, and if we want to be fulfilled and truly blessed as God wants us to be, we need to know God's will for our life. Very important. And we need to follow after His will with our whole heart. I thought I would speak a little more on the heart since Bob was talking about the heart. So today that's what we're going to be speaking about, following God's will with our whole heart, wholeheartedly. If we really want to do the most for God that we can possibly do and get the most out of life for ourselves, and I think we do. I want the most out of life, don't you? Don't you want to walk in maximum blessing? Don't you want to have maximum success, have a great life? Sure, there's still going to be problems, but in spite of those problems, we can have a tremendous life. And it's not something that's going to happen if we do it half-heartedly. We need to do it with all of our heart. We need to run after God's will with all of our heart. Deuteronomy 6:5 tells us, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Notice that the heart is first. Love the Lord with all your heart. In Matthew 22:36, when Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment? He basically said the same thing. He said, love the Lord, your God, with all your heart and your soul and your mind. In other words, we've got to love Him with everything. But what's He put first? Our heart. This is the first and greatest commandment. God considers the heart very important. Very important. Our heart. Not the muscle, not the, but it's the inner, the heart. Romans 10:9 tells us, if you confess or declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. There it is again, that heart issue. Hebrews 4:12 tells us the Word of God is living and active, and it also tells us that it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. So our heart has thoughts and attitudes inside there, buried down in there. In Scripture, the heart is considered the very center of our being, the core of our being, the innermost part of the human character. That's how God considers our heart. It's the real me. It's who I am. It's my essential being, the essence of who I am. It's the part of God, a part that God wants sold out for Him, our real inside, not just a surfacey sold out, not just a personality time, but the deepest part, like our character, our core value should be to love God. God sees the heart as so all important. In Proverbs 4:23, He calls it the wellspring of life. The wellspring of life. Everything we do flows out of there. That whole verse actually reads this, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And notice it says, above all else, over everything, above your business, above your work, above your home, your car, your hobbies, your friends, your family, your hopes, your dreams, your bank account, above all else, guard your heart. That's where you touch God. God knows that this is a very, very important thing. Think back over your life. If you could think of some of your successes, some of your greatest accomplishments, or maybe even some of the failures that you've experienced. And one of the best predictors for success that you will find in your life is when you put your whole heart into something. I'm sure you've heard that, expression, put your heart into it. Come on, man, put your whole heart into it, And you give it everything you've got. When we put our passion into that thing, our time and our energy, and we maximize every level and we go after it, the chances are you're going to succeed. A really good chance. It may take time. We may have to persevere, as Dan was talking about earlier here this morning. But on the other hand, if we're involved in something, and you've heard this expression too, and our heart is just not in it, or we go after it half-heartedly, you know what's going to happen? It's probably going to fail. There's a very good chance that we end up just dropping out, that we give up because our heart's just not in it. My heart's just not in it. I just didn't feel like continuing on. That's why God wants us to love Him with our whole heart. Our whole heart. We can't be half-hearted as we run after God, or we may not succeed as Christians. What does God mean when he says that the heart is a wellspring of life? A wellspring is something that just continues up. You ever see one of those artesian springs? Or Carol and I used to live in Boston. We lived there for 3 years. We used to drive about 15, 20 miles out to this hill on the side of a road. And this hill used to house a water factory. And there was a pipe coming out of the hill on the side of the road, and there was a pull-off there. And every time we ever went there, there were always 3, 4, 5, 6 cars, and we would bring a couple 5-gallon jugs, those big giant water bottles, and fill them up with water. And I had one of those water coolers in our kitchen, and I would bring home the big 40 pounds, 50-pound thing, and then, you know, dump it on there because we loved that water. And that the company was torn down about 30 or 40 years before then. That's already been 30 years ago, and that's still going. And the company was there for about 50 years, and the water was coming out before that. It just keeps going. It keeps going. A fresh source of water, refreshing, life-giving water, a wellspring. Imagine if you were in a desert, and there's nothing around you but sand and dust and dryness, heat, the sun. You think you're about ready to die, and then you come upon an oasis. In the middle of that oasis, there's a spring of water coming up, the wellspring. And that oasis produces and even preserves life. In that oasis, you find bushes and trees and maybe even a few little animals or insects and things like that that would easily have died had there been no well there. And that's what God is saying our heart should be like, a continuous flow towards God. A continuous flow of God coming out of us. The heart is what gives our life its essence, its fullness, its meaning. It's where we love. Love comes out of the heart. And if you remember what Jesus said was the most important commandment, to love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Love is where we connect with God. That's where we touch God as our heart reaches out in love, and we love Him, remember, because He first loved us. His love captured our heart. And now our heart returns to that love towards Him. A life filled with love and loving is the life that is most in the image of God. Because God has an unsurpassing love, an unyielding, unending, all-surpassing love. Think of all the things that you love in life. I'm sure everybody hears, oh man, I really love this, I really love that. You know me, you know I love perch on Friday nights. You know, but I mean, that's, you know, there's a lot of things that we love. We love our family. You know, I mean, we love our friends. We love things of beauty. People love their pets. We love music. We love beautiful sunsets, beautiful sceneries. We love special places. We love the memories of good things that have happened in our life. And hopefully, most of all, we love God. Without a heart, we wouldn't be able to love those things. We wouldn't have that capacity to love. And so God says, above all else, we need to guard our heart. Unless you want to live a loveless life. If we don't guard our heart, what happens is we can oftentimes bury it with our intellect, with our mind, with our thoughts, with our thinking, with our rules and our regulations and our duties, to the point where the things of our heart can be forgotten or ignored. And life becomes a tedious, boring, repetitive task, filled with drudgery, filled with monotony, lifeless, with no hope, no passion, and no love. And there are people walking all across the world that live life like that. They don't have that capacity in them to love. They don't know God. We can't really love until we've known the love of God. We can have a shallow human type of love, a worldly love. We can appreciate things, but there's a depth of love that goes far deeper when we know God's love. We have to be careful that we don't lose what God has put in us. He's put wonderful things in our lives and in our hearts that make us unique and special. Every one of you have God-given unique, special abilities, ways that God has shared His love. He's put a couple drops of His all-consuming love inside of you that nobody else quite can duplicate. And He wants you to share that love with the world. In the depths of that heart, that's where we find this wellspring of love that comes from God that we can pour out then His unique blessing into the world around us, into our sphere of influence. God's love, I mean, I say a couple drops, but to us, it's overwhelming. A drop of God's love can blow us away. His love is so all-consuming. And so He wants to be flowing out of this wellspring of your heart, this love that can literally transform your world and the world around you as you spread that love. As you allow your heart to bloom and to blossom, and you allow that wellspring to come up and touch people around you, you can change people's lives. Not you, but God's love coming through you, the Holy Spirit working through you. We have to listen to our heart as it's enlightened by the Holy Spirit. When we love God with all of our heart, as we're talking about, and we allow then God to come in and to change us and influence our life, that's when God's power comes alive in us. We have to make ways to allow that life from God. We have to touch Him. We have to connect with Him on a regular basis. We have to allow His Spirit to enliven us and to bring that life in so that it can come out. That's why it's so important for us to understand God's will for our life. And that's how we can truly begin to walk in it, when we follow Him with our whole heart. Sometimes we're afraid. We're afraid of our emotions. We're afraid of things that we feel inside. And maybe if we're a guy, sometimes we think we're feminine or something because we feel those emotions. Some guys think that it's not good to be emotional at all. But those emotions are the voice of our heart, speaking not only to us, but speaking to others and sharing the love of God. And sometimes it's those emotions that capture the heart of somebody else in a way that words never could. Have you ever been in the presence of somebody? I'm sure every one of you have, when you just felt the emotion oozing out of them, their love, a loss, say somebody they love was in trouble or had just passed away or you know, something like that, and you're there with them and you begin to cry with them. You have empathy for them. You feel what they're feeling. And God has given us that ability to feel what we feel from one another. And so He puts this love inside of us. He puts His power, His love, His passion inside of us. And when we allow it to come out, we can touch other people then with God's love. I remember, we always joke about it, about how many times I've cried up here at this podium. I remember the first few times I did it, I was so embarrassed. when that would happen to me. I was. I felt stupid. You know, and I was trying my hardest to not cry, and instead I just stood up here and couldn't say a word. I finally learned how to talk right through my crying for the most part. But one of the things that freed me up, one time somebody came up to me and was talking about that. And, you know, they're telling me about how I was crying, and I'm thinking, yeah, I know. And they said, Pastor John, why do you feel like that? That really touched me. When you said that and you cried, I felt it too. I felt God's love coming through you at that moment. And I realized then that it's not something to run from or to hide from. It's to, you know, allow God to come out when He wants to show His love to you. And when He wants to bring that love out of the wellspring of my heart or out of your heart, we don't want to bury it. We want to let it come out and let God touch us through our heart to your heart. Those emotions make us come alive. Why should we need to hide how we feel? Why do we need to bury our passions? We shouldn't, as long as those passions are God-inspired. Everybody has different passions, and some of them are perverted. But if we're following after God, and our passions are God-inspired, then we want that passion to come out of us. Whether it's joy, whether it's love, whether it's compassion, whether it's grief, whatever it is, if God is behind it, let it rip. God's a passionate God. And He created us in His image. Without a heart, we're nothing more than the Tin Man, or like a robot or a computer. God didn't make us a bunch of robots. But the heart is much more than just emotions. That's just one part of it. Romans 10:10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Matthew 13:15 talks about us understanding with our hearts. And we saw the other, if you believe with your heart, we've seen already a bunch of scriptures that talk about all the different things that go on in our heart. Thoughts and attitudes are happening inside of our heart that God judges, the Word of God can judge. Our deepest beliefs, our loves, our faith, all these things, and so much more, are issues of our heart. And these things, God wants them to flow. That's why we need to guard our hearts above all else, because it's the wellspring of life. Our mind deals with knowledge and information, and that's really important. The knowledge of God is tremendous. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But the heart then takes it, as our mind takes it in and we learn it and understand it, then God like sort of buries it into our heart and plants it inside of our heart. And the Holy Spirit works on it inside of our heart. And then this wellspring that's pouring out just lets it flow. It's because of our heart that we can experience life to the fullness. Creativity comes from the heart. It should, anyway. Creativity comes from the heart because the heart is what is closest to our Creator. God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it and all things in it and us and our heart and our mind, our thoughts. This is where inspiration comes from. Godly inspiration. It comes out of our heart. It comes from God through His Holy Spirit, and He speaks it to our heart. And it comes through us in it, and then it gets up into our mind, and then we put it together. We put it on paper. We put it in a painting. We put it into music. We put it, you know, in a book. We put it in dealing with issues and problems and loving people and all these different things. When God inspires us, when someone sings a beautiful song that moves us, we say they sang like an angel, and where we say that it came right from the heart. And it's probably true. the best of any work, of any art, of life, the best of life, comes from the heart. Even better still is when the Holy Spirit enables us to connect with God's heart. Because that's where we want to always get back to. What could be better than something inspired, right from God? You know, we're working on an issue, we're working on a problem, we're working on a video, a movie, a book, whatever it is. Go and deep and touch God. Connect with God. Ask God for insight. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for, just to pour it out. Get our inspiration from God. The best relationships are heart relationships. When people's hearts are intertwined, when it's not just a mental, this would be a good deal. Let's make a covenant, a contract, and we'll marry. It's when our hearts are involved, and especially when God is leading us and we move by our heart. God says in Jeremiah 29:13, "You will find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Are we seeking God with all of our heart? Are we trying to hear his voice with all of our heart? Are we trying to hear what he's speaking to us with all of our heart? To love God, to really love God, we have to run after him and to love him with all of our heart. We cannot be the person God created us to be. And we can't really walk in his purpose and in his will and fulfill that purpose that he meant for us without, hearing from God, running after God without knowing God's will and going after him and living it out then with all of our heart. We can't live our life half-heartedly. We can't follow God half-heartedly. We have to trust in the Lord, it says, with all of our heart and lean not on our understanding. It doesn't mean we don't try to understand. Sure, we study to show ourselves approved. We get into the Word. We allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, but we have to trust that God is working through us. And we lean not on this human, fleshly understanding. God will speak to our heart as we study his Word. God will speak to our heart as we are led by his Holy Spirit. That's where he connects, in the essence of our being, in our deepest recesses of who we are. We don't want to live by our carnal mind, by our fleshly thinking. What's right? I mean, there's value to that too, making sure we do the right thing here and there, and as we're living our life and going through our life, there's all kinds of things that our mind will tell us is right or wrong. But still, knowing from God, especially the things that are so important to our life, our faith, our hope, our joy, the things that come from God, our beliefs and what we believe in, our relationships. We can't trust those to this natural mind and to our human heart. The human heart is deceitful above all things. I'm not talking about that. That leads us astray all the time. Oh, God knows my heart, that kind of thing, and people go and do whatever they want. That's an excuse. I'm talking about a true, right relationship of God in the innermost core of our being. What God is calling our heart here when he says, guard, above all, guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of life. It's a precious gift from God. We need to guard that heart from getting calloused, becoming hard, Bob talked about, you were talking about somebody's heart getting, oh, you were talking about Jenny's heart. My dad had the same thing. He had something called, I've forgotten now, pericarditis. And the lining, there's a sac that your heart is in, and that sac that held his heart became like leather. Literally became like leather and was suffocating him. His oxygen level was going down, down, down. They said if he didn't get in for that operation, he'd be dead in a few months. Because that heart was becoming harder and harder and harder, and it was taking the life right out of him. And we have to be so careful. We have to guard our heart, that we don't allow our heart to become hardened. Hardened against God. It happens. Hardened against his people. It happens. Hardened from fear. Hardened through discouragement. Hardened through resentments. So many different ways that our heart can start to harden. And see, we have to guard that. We have to guard our heart from allowing it to be hardened. You're going to get hurt. People are going to hurt you. Families are going to hurt you. Christians are going to hurt you. Sometimes you're going to think God has abandoned you or hurt you in some way. He didn't. But our foolishness sometimes thinks that. And so then we start to get mad. How many people are out there in this world right now that are mad at God because something happened to them and they blame God? Happens all the time. But God is the healer of broken hearts. We can't lose heart when things don't go our way. We just can't let that happen, because things aren't going to go our way all the time. When things aren't moving fast enough for us, we can't lose heart. When it seems that evil is triumphing, sometimes we look all around us and we go, oh my gosh, what's going on with the world that we live in? There's all kinds of evil in this world. There's also all kinds of good in this world. In fact, there's more good, I think, going on than evil. Unfortunately, the evil gets the press. When we are faced with those trials and those pains and those heartaches of life, it can hurt, but we can't let it damage, harden, and turn our heart into a heart of stone. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, that's the way God looks at them, are achieving for us, see, they're doing something. They're working in us and are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Those problems and those things that you're going through are just building a better inheritance for you. They're making you into a better Christian. That's your workout. You don't have to go to the gym for that heart. You just have to live life and endure, and every time you allow when you allow your heart to overwhelm those problems, out of the wellspring of your heart, the life comes and the issues of the good things come out, and we overwhelm those things that are trying to destroy us, we get stronger. So we can't give in to those problems. That's how the enemy wants to destroy us too. He attacks your heart. He hurts you where it hurts. He hits you where it hurts, right in the heart. He does a heart punch. And that heart is precious to God. It's worth fighting for. It's worth protecting. So we guard it above all else, because it's the wellspring of life. Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance for his holy people. Jesus came to give us abundant life. To do that, he said he came to heal the brokenhearted. How has your heart been hurt? How many times has your heart been broken? How many times has your heart been threatened with that hard exterior, that hardening? I know it has. Every one of us, things are coming against you to try to harden your heart, to turn your heart into a heart of stone, just like that stone that Bob had up there last week. How many times has your heart been wounded? Maybe closed up for a while. Maybe closed up shop. It was overwhelmed. It was burdened. It just felt broken, like it was beyond repair. Maybe you even lost heart in your walk with Christ. Maybe the passion that you had for Christ dried up a little bit. Maybe your heart is just not into your ministry, your calling, your walk with Christ, your knowledge for Him, for His Word, for His Spirit. Maybe you've lost that drive, lost that heart for God. Maybe it's time to call the healer of our heart, Jesus, who comes to heal the brokenhearted. If I could have the prayer team come forward. I think there's some people here today. Your hearts have been broken. Your hearts have been attacked. They've been threatened. They've been messed with. And Jesus says, I want to heal your hearts. I want to heal. Just takes a touch from God. We don't have to go to 6 months of counseling. We don't have to read 50 books. Sometimes it just takes a touch from God. The wellspring that was plugged up somehow starts to flow again. That's what you want. You want that wellspring of life to be flowing inside of you. So guard your heart. Guard your heart. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you so much that you have poured your life into our heart, into us. That you have filled us with your Spirit, with your power, with your anointing. Lord God, that you have touched our hearts. And God, I pray that right now, that every person that has suffered a blow to their heart, that is having a tough time dealing with whatever issue has hit you, Lord, I pray that you would heal right now that broken heart. Lord God, get that spring flowing again. Let the love of God be flowing out of our hearts. Let the power of God be flowing out of our hearts so that we can walk under your anointing, so that we can walk in the purpose that you created us for. Lord, we need to serve you and we want to serve you with our whole heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 If you need prayer, please come forward. And, you know, you don't even have to even explain everything. All you got to say is, my heart is hurting. You know what it is.
that the Spirit